All right, let's see what God has for us this wonderful Palm Sunday. Let us pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, speak to our hearts and challenge us to move from where we are to where it is you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, saints, I do believe there is a sermon outline in your bulletin. It might be in the form of an insert. We had a off number of pages divided by 12, so we had to put it in as an insert. What is the title of today's message? Praise God. Most of y'all are awake and I didn't even start. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hope is on the way. Jesus is coming. Now, last week, Pastor Kelly showed us that Jesus was wrapping up his ministry as he made up his mind to go to Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, however, is the Sunday before Jesus is going to be killed. He is going to come into the city riding on a donkey, and the streets are going to be lined with people as much as you would see people lining up for a parade today. They will all be waving palms, or most of them will. This is where we get the Palm Sunday part from. And they will be shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And many of the people who had never had a chance to see Jesus or never had a chance to see him do a miracle were probably there that day hoping to see something that Jesus might do or an experience a miracle for themselves. Now, in Jerusalem, there was plenty of excitement because people had the feeling that Jesus was coming and something big was about to happen. And the quality of the hope they possessed depended a lot on their attitude toward Jesus. Now, those who loved Jesus the most were the most thrilled about him entering into the city. They had the greatest amount of hope of what a difference Jesus was going to make as he came into their lives. And those who loved Jesus the least were nowhere near as excited. It was pretty much, well, if he comes, he comes. If he don't, he don't. You know, what's the big deal? Your hope for what God can do in your life is going to be affected by your attitude toward Jesus. And there are some things you are hoping for in your life today that you will not obtain if your attitude toward God is not what it should be when Jesus approaches you. Now, you may say, how does Jesus approach me today when he left here 2,000 years ago? Well, Jesus is coming to you today. He's going to come to you through this message. He's going to come to you through the Word of God. He's going to come to you through the people that he's sending into your life. He's coming because he wants to bring every one of us here some hope. Is there any of you who could use a little bit more hope? I confess I could use a whole lot of hope today. Now, this past week, we all saw the tragedy of the mother who took her children and drove them in the river to kill her and her kids. Fortunately, one of the children did survive. But the reason she did this, when you peel away everything else, is that she had no hope for her situation. And when we have no hope, life becomes unbearable and difficult. If she had had the hope that Jesus was coming to her situation, she would probably still be alive today. Now, Palm Sunday was like a great big parade as people looked anxiously to see if he was coming yet. Any of you ever been at a parade where you kept stretching down to see if they was coming? Is he coming yet? He's coming yet? Now, you never know what is coming next in a parade. In the same way when it comes to life, you never know really what's coming next. Any of you ever planned the perfect day and you knew from the first thing that happened your day was not going to go as you planned it to go? Now, although you cannot determine what's coming, you can determine what your attitude is going to be when whatever it is that arrives. And our attitude is a choice. It's something very, very valuable because it allows us to determine how we feel inside. If attitude was not a choice, we wouldn't be able to follow Christ, because Christ expects us to have some unexpected attitudes in certain kinds of situations. You ever had God tell you that you need to change your attitude? Did you always also tell God you really didn't want to change your attitude right then and there at that moment? I had a terrific experience with that just this past week. To have hope in Christ goes along with deciding to have the right attitude. Now, Jesus knows that Palm Sunday is the last time he's going to be marching to the adoration of the crowds. He knows he's only got a week left to live. He's finally decided to make it known publicly that he is the Messiah that they have been waiting for hundreds of years. We read in the Old Testament a prophecy about a king who would ride into the city on a colt. Now, in our Old Testament reading, Zechariah predicted that Jesus was going to come into Jerusalem on a colt 500 years before Jesus was even born. Now, the reason Miss Reese had such a hard time finding Matthew was there was a 500-year gap between Zechariah and Matthew. So it took a while to get there. All right. Now, if God could predict something 500 years in advance, shouldn't that give us hope that he knows what's going to happen tomorrow? He knows what's going to happen next week. He knows what's going to happen next year. Now, the time had finally come for Jesus to make himself known. He's going to take that next step. And the only question really is, can he count on everybody's cooperation? Can Jesus count on your cooperation today? All right, keep that in mind. I might ask you to do something before it's over with. Jesus is getting ready for the whole reason for which he came into this world, which was to die for our sins, that we might be restored in a right relationship with God. And there in Luke chapter 19, verse 30 through 31, we see Jesus with these words. He's talking to the disciples, and he says, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Now, the word of the Lord, the word Lord here is the name for God, which is found in the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying to them, God, tell them that God is about to do something great with this colt. Now, here is the first opportunity for an attitude problem that could affect our hope for Palm Sunday comes into being. Now, there are 12 disciples there, and suppose you had been one of the 12. Would you have gotten upset and became envious that Jesus chose two of them to go and not you? Some kind of miracle is going to take place with this colt. Are you one of the ones, "Well, why did they get to go and we didn't get to go? I'm so sick and tired of them going, and should have been my time to go." Did you know that few things are more damaging to the body of Christ than people having the attitude, "I should have got to do that. I should have got that part. My child should have got that part." The attitude of envy causes us to say things about others that never should have been said. We question their motives. We question their hearts. We question their intentions. We forget that we are called the body of Christ, not the interchangeable parts of Christ. You know, if you are trying to wonder whether or not you have a problem with envy over another person, all you have to do is just answer this question. Do you pray for this person as much as you talk about this person? Keep it in mind, just a thought. Jesus does not treat us all the same, because he has different roles and different ministries for each one of us to fulfill. You know, I can only be Pastor Rick, I cannot be Gwen and sing. I cannot usher like Gwen. I cannot greet like Felicia. I can only be Pastor Rick. Cannot preach like Pastor Toby. Cannot charm like Pastor Kelly. I can only be Pastor Rick. And that's all God has called me to be. There's no need for me to be envious of any of them, because we're all called to build the same church. Some of us would have said, well, if he was going to do it for the two, he should have did it for the whole 12. That's the only way to be fair. Our hope is not for us to be a fair church, but to be a loving and obedient church. Your hope for your life should not be to make sure you are always treated fairly, but to surrender to God wherever God asks you to surrender. Because sometimes God can do more in and through our lives when we are treated unfairly than he can when we are treated fairly. As a matter of fact, we don't even think about God when we've been treated fairly, do we? We never say, oh God, thank you for the way they just treated me. But we'll tell God, did you see how they just reacted to me? Did you see what they just said to me? Sometimes we get upset with others over God's call on their lives, and we do not understand the price they have paid to get where they are. Sometimes God cannot use us in the spotlight because we're unwilling to pay the price to get there. Now here are these two disciples who are going on the word of Jesus, hoping to be a part of whatever God is going to do with this cult. And I can just imagine in my Pastor Rick way of thinking, as they are going down talking about picking up this cult, and I can see one of them saying, so how much money did Jesus give you to pay for the cult? And the other one said, well, I thought he gave you the money to pay for the cult. What's our attitude going to be when God calls us to do something, but God does not give us enough to accomplish it except his word? All we know is that God said to do it, but we feel like we're kind of left hanging out there. If Jesus is still our hope, we will believe somehow we are going to get through this thing. Now, to just put this in today's vernacular to help us see what these two disciples were going through. Suppose Jesus told you to go to Parmatown Mall. And Jesus says, now right near the entrance will be a brand new convertible with the keys inside of it. Just get in and bring it back to me. If the security or police ask you what you're doing, just tell them the Lord needs it. Now, how many of you would feel comfortable with Jesus' instructions? The moment you saw Terrence walking toward you in his uniform, you'd start saying all kinds of stuff. Many times, doubt lingers around when God tells us to do something. Sometimes God can't use some of us because he knows we are not going to follow through on the task. We start asking, is this going to work? How can I get this done? Where am I going to get the money? It's in times like these that we really have to choose an attitude of faith. God told me to do this for a reason. Because God sent me, God will keep his word. Now, sure enough, when the two disciples got into the next town, they found everything exactly as Jesus said. They found the colts right there where he said. They saw that it was tied up. Everything is going fine. They go over. They start untying the colt. And what do you think happens? They hear this voice. Hey, what you doing untying that colt? And all of a sudden, they start getting surrounded by some big angry fellas. Now, if it had been some of us, we would have got a self-righteous attitude right there. Don't be accusing me of being no thief. I just made a mistake. Didn't know it was your coat. We can become so interested in how we look in a situation that we forget what Jesus told us to do. Jesus did not say, make a scene. Jesus did not say, defend yourself. Jesus said, tell them the Lord needs it. When they said, the Lord needs it, the owner's attitude immediately changed from anger and suspicion to cooperation. You see, God had already spoken to their hearts to bring out their prized possession, a beautiful colt upon which no one had ever ridden, but God didn't tell them who was coming to get it. Now, they probably, like us, would have been waiting for an angel from heaven to come and pick it up. They certainly were not expecting two ordinary men who look like ordinary thieves to come and get this colt that they had been preserving for all of this time. This is why we need the right attitude even towards strangers, because we never know when Jesus is right in our midst. I had the opportunity of going to one of these cell phone places to get my cell phone activated because it was from a different company. But anyways, I took my phone there, and they said, well, this is one of the new models. It's going to cost you $50 to have it activated, and we've got to send it out. So I said, all right. So I left it, and they sent it out, and I went to pick it up, and they said, the guy said he had a tough time with this, so he wants to hold on a longer so he can figure out what exactly the code is. I said, okay, so I waited a few more days, and finally I went, and they had a sign out front saying we can unlock any phone, and I told them, well, you're going to have to say we can unlock any phone minus one because you couldn't do mine. And so he says, yeah, I'm real sorry, and he gives me the phone and a piece of paper, and I go out in the car, sit in the car, and I open the paper up, and it's not my phone. So I take it back, and I said, this is not my phone. They says, yes, it is. I says, no, I gave you, and whatever type of phone it was. And he says, oh, okay. So then he looked, and he found the paper, and he says, oh, here's your phone. And I said, okay. I took the phone, and they says, you know, we can sell you back for the protection of for just $10 or whatever. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll get the cover that you're talking about. And so when they gave me the phone, I said, well, aren't you going to put, and the guy says, how much we charge you? I said, you had said it would be 50. He said, I'm going to be 40, and I'll let you have the case for 10. And I said, okay, that's fine. So he gives me the phone, and I said, well, where's the back? And he says, the back, we just put it on there. I said, I thought you were talking about a case. He said, no, we're talking about the back. I said, look, when I brought this phone here, I had a back on my phone. And they says, oh, no, you didn't have a back on the phone. I said, look, the phone was practically new. I knew I had a back on it. And they says, no, when you called, you didn't. They called the place, they sent it. They said, no, there was no back on the phone. I says, look, I sincerely believe that you believe there was not a back. I believe there was a back, but that's okay. And the guy says, you know what, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go home, you're going to look at open your box, and your back is going to be there on the top of your box. And when it is, I want you to call me up and let me know. I says, well, I'm glad you feel that way, but like I said, there is no hard feelings. We just agreed to see this differently. And I went home, and I found my box, and I opened my box, and there was my back. There was my back. And I was like thinking, now, I am so glad I did not make a fool out of myself there at the store like some of us would have. Yelled, screamed, I said, we just see this differently. We agree to disagree. So wasn't it a lot easier for me when I went back and said, you know what? You was right. I opened my box. Here is the bag. But when we humble ourselves, even in the midst of a disagreement, you don't know what God is going to do. You also don't know what you're not going to have to eat a little bit later on. Sometimes, like these guys had this colt. And Matthew's gospel tells us that not only did they give the disciples the colt, they gave the disciples the donkey's mother as well. And they take both of these animals back to Jesus. Now, somewhere God had told them, don't ever ride this colt. Because some of the things we have, we think they are ours, but they really aren't. God just put them in our hands for us to hold on to them until he comes along to get it for what's really needed. When something was given, an animal was given in the Old Testament for a sacred purpose, it had to be an animal that had never been used for anything else. Here was this young colt, this young donkey, that had never been ridden upon, and it was consecrated to God. Now, just like Jesus has different reasons for why he chooses us, he had a particular reason for why he chose this donkey. When a king came into a city riding on a donkey, it meant he was coming in peace. If a king came into a city riding on a stallion, it meant he was coming in to conquer the people. The donkey was also an animal of service to carry the burdens and loads of people. So when Jesus is coming into the city, he's coming in as the King of Peace, ready to carry our burdens and our hardships with him. At the heart of Palm Sunday is Jesus' desire to bring peace into our lives and to be willing to carry whatever burdens it is that we have in our lives. But the only way for him to do it is for us to allow him to march in and take over without a fight. How many of you like to fight God every now and then? You tell God, oh God, you can march right in over in that area of my life, but no, march in over here. If God was going to tell you right now, this is an area you need to work on, how many of you know instantly what he just put his finger on? Y'all that blind, y'all don't talk to God that often? Well, you better sit down on this sermon. And we just pray. Wherever Jesus is not fully welcome in our lives is where the battle for our peace and our attitude is really taking place. That's what's keeping hope from being a reality in our lives. We're doing all kinds of things hoping to find some peace, but God is saying Jesus is coming, and he is your hope for peace. You get peace when you give him control of your life. I got peace in that station because I chose to let Jesus speak through me rather than me speak to me. When the two disciples returned with the colt and the donkey, they placed their coats and garments upon the young colt to serve as a saddle for Jesus. And now that the colt is there, the parade is ready to start. And as the parade starts, again, we see different attitudes toward start manifesting themselves. The first group of people whose hearts are filled with hope, they show up and they want to immediately show Jesus, we want to give you the best we have to offer. And what do? They take off their coats. They take off their clothing. And they lay it down on the ground as a pathway to form like a royal carpetway for the animal to walk on. How many of you know they were not concerned that their clothes might not be reusable? They were not concerned that somebody might take their designer this, that, or the other thing. Their focus was on all-out honor to Jesus Christ. Now, is this your attitude when it comes to serving God? Lord, you can count on me for whatever without even thinking about it. This is the group that goes above and beyond what was expected. This is the group that Pastor Toby preached about a few weeks ago when she talked about being sold out for Jesus. Everything they had, including their material possessions, were being used to glorify God. This was the group that actually said hallelujah when it came time for the offering. Now, the next group coming with hope, they wanted to offer Jesus something too, but they were not fully committed to the cause. It's the attitude of giving something good, even though it's not the best they could have gave. They kept on their coats. They kept on their cloaks. They says, what else could we use? Oh, let's go get some of those palm branches. So they went and got some palm branches to lay down for Jesus to come marching in. They were in the parade, and they looked pretty good. And this is where most of us are in the church today. We're doing a pretty good job of investing ourselves a little bit here and there in the work of Jesus, but we haven't made that decision that all that I am, all who I am, all that I have truly belongs to God. We've got the head knowledge of Jesus, but we're still not going to give him all of our hearts. We're still not convinced that doing things God's way is the best way to handle things in our lives. We have a hope, but that hope just, it doesn't quite get fulfilled because we're not going all out. And then there were those who had a hope of just getting something free. They never actually became a part of the parade on Palm Sunday. They showed up alongside of the road and they just kind of waved a little bit at Jesus. They didn't take off their cloak. They didn't go look for any palms. They just, when he passed, they turned and they went on about their business pretty much as people do when a parade passes them by. I want to ask you the question today. Where does the hope inside of you have you as a person today? Is it an all-out hope saying, yes, Lord, use me. Here is my time. Here is my money. Here is my love. Here is my obedience. Here is my everything. Or is it a partial hope saying, God, I want you to use me, but not too much. And only on my terms. And don't ask too much of a sacrifice of it. You know, it's amazing sometimes how we Christians in America are just spoiled. We talk about sacrifice for Jesus, and in Afghanistan, sacrifice for Jesus means your family kicking you out if you had been Muslim and you possibly losing your head. In America, we talk about sacrificing for Jesus, and we talking about we fasted a Big Mac last Tuesday. And that's about as far as it goes. Heaven knows if we ask you to fast lunch and dinner. And then there's the third one. Simply, God, do something for me, but leave my life alone and let me do as I please. You know, saints, there is so much more God wants to do for all of us than what we have experienced. But God is not going to force it upon any of us. There were thousands and thousands of people there on Palm Sunday as Jesus marched into the city. They all got to decide just how close they wanted to get to Jesus. We all decide just how close do we want to get to Jesus. The people were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They were saying, "Jesus, you're the one that God has sent." Matthew was saying they were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which means you're the one God has sent, save us now. You're the one God has sent, save us now. Now, they were thinking that Jesus was coming in to overthrow the Roman government. Jesus was coming to overthrow sin in our lives. The moment we think of Jesus coming, what is it that we really are hoping are going to happen? Are we hoping for something Jesus can do for us, or hoping for something that Jesus is going to do in us? You see, the former says, "Lord, help me to get this new house." The latter says, "Lord, help me to be more loving in the home I am already in." The former says, "Lord, help me to give me this healing right now." The latter says, "Lord, may I demonstrate your grace through this trial I am passing through." One of the things we learn about Palm Sunday is that Jesus always comes in on his terms. His agenda is to lead us into a deeper relationship with God so that he might change our lives and we will receive what is truly important in life. You know what? My biggest problem in life is not the amount of money I make. It is not the size of Glenville New Life Community Church. It is not the people I have to deal with. It is not even whether the Republicans or the Democrats are in control of Congress. My biggest problem is still the sinful nature inside of me that keeps trying to tell me I can find joy outside of the will of God for my life. You see, I have a tendency to forget that the Bible says sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. Having an attitude problem can be pleasurable, but only for a season. The consequences dramatically outweigh whatever fun or feeling or sensation you had. And unfortunately, payday is often far removed from the moment of pleasure. My hope is that Jesus is coming again in my life today so that I can receive his presence and his peace. Because that's the only way I'm going to know what it is to be content in who I am, content with what I have, content in my circumstances right now. Jesus is coming, my friend. You can walk away and keep ignoring him and stand to the sideline and let him pass by, hoping you get to see him at another parade. But Jesus isn't coming back to Jerusalem anymore. You can step almost close enough to touch him and just feel good that you was close by him. But Jesus keeps moving. And we gotta move with him. Or you can step right out in front and take your coat off and lay it down and declare, "You are the Son of God. You are my hope. I am here to say yes to your will for my life. Change me, O Lord, because if you don't change me, there is no other hope." Amen. Lord, we need changing today. There is so much in us like that Palm Sunday crowd who shout one thing, but then we turn around and want to crucify you when your will clashes with ours. Forgive us for being so fickle. Help us to understand the depth of the love you have for us, that you could have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.